And now, The Vindicator, starring Robert Sterling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of the Army.
City, the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force bring you a true story of high significance titled The Vindicator, starring the well-known Hollywood screen star Robert Sterling. This transcribed feature is another in the series of
The Voice of the Army.
At approximately 2 hours past noon, on the clear, cold 5th of January, 1945, I was piloting one of the formation of heavy bombers which had taken off from the English Midlands at 11 o'clock. We had 4,500 tons of 1,000-pound eggs to drop on the suspected submarine nest at the gateway to Bordeaux, France. Our target was Royan, a resort city with a permanent population of 12,000 and a normal summer population of 100,000. Fortunately, it was not summertime.
Navigator to crew. Target in 30 seconds.
Pilot to Bombardier. Bomb bay is open.
Bombardier to pilot. Bomb bay is open. Is the BDI switch on, John?
BDI switch on. Get everything in sight, Pete.
Roger. On target. Bombs away.
Two railroad stations, the bus station and the city hall. The gas plant, the electric plant, and the entire fishing port. All the garages, all the stores, all the hotels except one. The library, the museum, the banks, including municipal receipts, registers, and savings.
4,700 buildings destroyed. 3,000 buildings damaged. Remaining buildings, undamaged and intact, 300. 95% of the entire city of Royan, France, demolished. Then, one day in January 1948, just 3 years after the Royan bombing raid, I walked into the editorial offices of the Daily Spectator, a student-operated newspaper at Columbia University in New York City.
Columbia Daily Spectator, Hawes speaking. Oh, yeah, well, thank you very much, but we're already making up an editorial on that topic. Yeah, that's right. Not at all. Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. What can he do for you?
I'm looking for the editor of the Columbia Daily Spectator. Is he in?
Oh, which editor are you looking for?
Mr. Dave Schraffenberger.
Oh, you mean the editor. Oh, yeah, I think he's here somewhere. Oh, there he is. Oh, Dave.
Yes, Gene.
Gentlemen to see you.
Always glad to see anybody who doesn't have libel on his mind.
Well, what I have in my mind is hardly libel, Mr. Schraffenberger. But it does concern your newspaper.
Then I'm definitely interested. What is it?
It's about an item I saw in the Spectator this morning concerning a city in France that was bombed during the war.
Oh, you mean Royan.
That's right. The item stated that the paper is interested in supporting a drive to help the bombed out people in Royan. And I want to offer my services if there's anything I can do.
You bet there's something you can do. We're right in the midst of organizing our committee for the drive. Now, what we're after chiefly are clothes for the women and children over there. Just what would you want to do? I mean, are you a philanthropist or just a working man with a conscience?
Well, at present, I'm a student here at Columbia. So if you'd care to consider me for your committee, I'd like to give all the drive the time I can manage to spare.
My name is Degnan, John Degnan.
Mr. Degnan, you're just the kind of man we're looking for. Now, am I being too personal in asking whether you know anybody in Royan?
Not at all. No, I don't really know anybody there personally, but I've dreamed about everybody there quite a few times in the past 3 years.
You've dreamed about everybody there, but you don't know anybody there. I gather from that that something's involved besides our conversation.
Well, as a matter of fact, I feel that I am involved. You see, I piloted one of the bombers that raided Royan 3 years ago.
Oh, I see what you mean. All right, suppose we call a committee meeting right away and really start this thing rolling.
Fine. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Good. And meanwhile, we'll need all the publicity we can get. So if you'll just sit down here and give me some details, we'll run a story on your bombing raid.
The aid to Royan Drive got underway almost immediately, and I suddenly found that I'd been appointed co-chairman with Mr. Marshall Maskett of the Daily Spectator's Aid to Royan Committee. By the first week in February, nearly everybody at Columbia knew about Royan, which incidentally has, or had, an area perhaps twice the size of the university campus. Almost daily, the Spectator appeared with an account of the drive, a photograph, or an editorial on the subject. Headlines told and sold.
Columbia aid to help rebuild French Town.
Spectator launches aid drive.
Army gear asked for French Town.
Flyer who bombed Royan tells of raid.
And on February 20th, an item appeared which contained the text of a letter that the Spectator had received from a French woman, whose heart was in the right place, even though all her words were not.
And now I come on to tell you how much we were touched and grateful at this thought, and that your wishes turn about our ruins and numerous difficulties. Perhaps you will take a particular interest in the classic college of our town and maintain a few number of students whose parents are very poor since the bombardment of the 5th January 1945, already 3 years. They have great tediousness for food, clothes, and standing of life. Excuse me, my English is not the American way of speaking, but I am brotherly and sincerely yours, Madame Samuel Besançon, Vice President, Red Cross of Royan, France.
The mayor of Royan, Monsieur Charles Reganzoni, Chevalier of the Legion of Honor, had also been heard from. He had appointed a Monsieur Jean Pragno to act in the United States as his official delegate, with statistics under the letterhead of France's Department of Charente-Maritime.
The city had been occupied by the Nazis from July 1940 to April 1945. It had to bear with the arrest of hostages, the payment of fines, numerous deportations, the submission to forced labor, answering the requisitions which have drained all its substance. At present, the ruins have been cleared away. However, 9,000 people live in precarious conditions, often in cellars under ruins. For the third winter, schools are housed in light barracks, some of them donated by Switzerland, but have no heat and no decent school equipment. 1,193 children go to unheated schools. 600 babies live among ruins. Royan is located 10 miles from the town of Brouage, birthplace of Samuel de Champlain, who died on the American continent in 1635.
Royan Aid gets national publicity.
Voice of U.S. aims aid news at Royan.
Coast added to Royan Drive.
Say, Marshal, here's a stack of underwear. What did you do with the box I had for it?
Oh, there it is right behind you, John. Drop it in. We'll sort it over later.
Oh. There. I wouldn't go so far as to say that'll keep anybody warm, but it'll help.
Those two fur coats we got this morning shouldn't need any help to keep somebody warm.
Neither should those wool shirts that General Eisenhower donated yesterday.
I have some more clothes for Shanks Village. Would you please help me carry them in from the automobile?
We certainly will, Francine.
You're doing a wonderful job up there at Shanks Village, Francine.
Oh, merci.
Everybody there must have given something.
Well, not quite everybody, but almost. Oh, la la, somebody give two fur coats.
Yeah, how do you like that, Francine? That should help to keep your old friends in Royanne warm, huh?
Oh, mais certainement. I'm so happy for them. I did not ever think when I was a little girl in Royan that I would someday be able to help them so much.
Well, you're doing a fine job, Francine. And now that the Barnard Bulletin is in there pitching with us, we're getting plenty of clothes for the women and children. Did you see Barnard's slogan? The old look is the new look for Royanne.
That is lovely, no?
I'll say it's lovely. Personally, I like the old look better than the new look anyway. Well, Mrs. McManaman, should we get the stuff out of your car?
Of course.
We've got a lot of work ahead of us tonight.
Student Laundry Agency to clean Royanne contributions.
Royanne Hop to support aid drive.
Social Affairs Committee will cap Royanne Drive with Saturday night dance.
Columbia Daily Spectator, Hawes speaking.
Oh, yes, hello. I'm glad
you're here are the final figures on the Royanne donations,
yeah,
Marshal. Look them over and see if you're as satisfied with them as I am.
Wonderful. I'm not only satisfied with them, John, I'm proud of them. This makes me feel as though we've really done something. Well, there are lots of other Royans in the world that can use a little assistance right now, too. Let's hope that somebody else will help to carry the ball from here. And now may I get in line and congratulate you on the huge success of our Aid to Royan campaign. I couldn't have asked for a more efficient and conscientious co-chairman on the committee.
Thank you, Marshal. And may I extend the same sentiments to you.
Thanks, John. Now let's finish getting this stuff packed up and started toward Royanne.
The Aid to Royanne Drive, sponsored by the Columbia University Daily Spectator and the Barnard Bulletin, was finished. Hundreds of donations freely offered by sincere citizens were gathered and packaged for shipment by a cheerful, diligent committee of conscientious Americans who were eager to do something to help someone. And soon the articles were on their way to France. Clothes, especially for women, children, and babies. Baby food, canned food, money. Relief. Relief from the bitter cold. Relief from gnawing hunger. But there's one thing that is appreciated far more. Relief from oppression. Relief from fear.
The story you have just heard factually illustrates that, at heart, the American soldier is not essentially a soldier of war, but a soldier of peace. He is not a conqueror. He is a vindicator. The ABCs of a good soldier are
ability,
brains,
courage.
And the United States Army's fighting men are long on all three. That's why they're the world's greatest soldiers. If you are a young man of recruiting age, check yourself against these qualifications. If you have what it takes, there are exceptional opportunities waiting for you if you can qualify for the Army Field Forces.
You'll learn to handle some of the finest weapons and equipment made.
You'll learn to think and act when the chips are down.
And you'll learn to develop the qualities of leadership that are so essential in every walk of life.
Think it over. And if you are interested and can qualify and have
ability,
brains,
courage,
stop in and have a talk with your local U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting sergeant. He'll show you plenty of opportunities where you can use them in
the United States Army
and the United States Air Force.
Your Army and your Air Force serve the nation and mankind in war and peace.
This program was brought to you by the U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force and starred Robert Sterling in the role of Captain John Degnan. Also featured in the cast were Connie Lemke, John Seymour, Jim Bowles, and Drew Conklin. Voice of the Army thanks Mr. Sterling for his services on this program, which was written by Master Sergeant Robert McCann and directed by Major Hugh K. Murray. This is Sidney Paul speaking.
This transcribed feature has been another in the series of
The Voice of the Army.